completely inconsistent with how the Prophet ﷺ explained the Quran, and it's completely inconsistent with the Arabic language. But we have to be familiar with what they do. And as Muhammad Asad did, he claims that most of the Quran is mutashabih, and from this foundation, he can interpret the Quran in almost any way he wishes. At the turn of the century, unfortunately, especially in Egypt and other parts of the Muslim world, they were greatly influenced by, and really they greatly marveled at, the scientific civilization of Europe. And so therefore they began to, some of the scholars, and by the way, their intention, and we're not talking about their intention, because their intention was to defend Islam. One of the scholars who brought about secularism, although he didn't mean to, in Europe, was a man by the name of Kant. Kant was a firm believer in God. But he said that the rules of the hereafter, the rules of the unseen, or the logic of the unseen, doesn't apply to the logic of this world. He thought he's defending Christianity, but in fact, what he did pretty much led to the destruction of Christianity. So the same thing with respect to these scholars like Muhammad Abduh and Jamaluddin Afghani, Rashid Rida. And they were trying to defend Islam. They thought what they're doing is defending Islam. What they did was wrong. There's no question what they did was wrong or what they said was wrong. We have to reject what they said. But at the same time, we do not have to condemn the person and talk about his intention. Inshallah, their intention was to defend Islam. So when they admired the Western civilization, the scientific civilization, they began to interpret the Quran in very materialistic ways. As I alluded to earlier with Muhammad Asad, they began to they began to deny all of the mu'ajizat, or all of the miracles stated in the Quran. They began to deny most of the sifat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. And they began to interpret the Quran almost not as the Quran is supposed to be interpreted, but as Western, or as Europe, they interpreted in terms really of European society. Well, unfortunately, Abdullah Yusuf Ali is one of the people who was affected by that movement. And in his tafsir, there's many places we see that he has made some mistakes, and sometimes the mistakes were gross mistakes. We hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives Abdullah Yusuf Ali for his mistakes and rewards him for the service that he did to Islam. But at the same time, we should not ignore the mistakes he made. So I've written down some of the points from his tafsir, some of the footnotes. In footnote 44, for example, Yusuf Ali is under the belief, and he states it clearly in different places in his tafsir, that there's no such thing actually as heaven and hell, but they are just state of mind. And heaven is a place where you just feel felicity in your mind, and hell is a place where you just feel torture in your mind. He doesn't actually believe in heaven and hell as places where there will be resurrection, and the all of mankind will be resurrected, body and soul, and they will live in this new existence. He mentions that in footnote 44 of his commentary, and in many different places. Obviously, if we go back to the three principles, or the three tools used to make tafsir, the Quran itself, the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Arabic language, and this obviously contradicts all three of them, because the Quran is clear about heaven and hell, the Sunnah or the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is clear, and also the Arabic language, if we go to the Quran, and it is clear. Also, with respect to Iblis or the Shaitan in general, and also Muhammad Asad in his tafsir, in his appendix, he has the same kind of thing. With respect to Iblis, he says in footnote 52 that Iblis is the power of evil. He believes in it as something like the evil conscience of mankind. He does not believe in a creature created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Iblis. He believes it's some kind of evil power, evil conscience, or just that someone does something wrong, then we say this is yani related to Iblis, but in fact there's no such thing as Iblis. Well, if we go to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the angels to bow down to Adam, and among the people who were commanded to bow down to Adam was Iblis, and he refused. And he even said something. So this kind of interpretation goes clearly against the Quran. And how is it the power, supposedly some kind of power of evil, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states it as a kind of special creature? In footnote 168, we get a very clear example of where Abdullah Yusuf Ali is ignoring the sunnah of the Prophet. And this is a footnote to a verse which is talking about all of mankind has to pass over the fire. All of mankind will pass over the fire. Well, the Prophet ﷺ explained this as the sirat, the path over the hellfire. And for some people they will go quickly, and for other people they will struggle, and so forth. But the Prophet ﷺ clearly explained the meaning of this verse. And if the Prophet ﷺ said something, we cannot go to something else. But again, Yusuf Ali refused to follow what the Prophet ﷺ said, and he calls it the fire of repentance. Now there's nowhere in the Quran or in the Hadith, or even in the Arabic language in the Quran, there's nowhere anything such as the fire of repentance. And he says, all of us must pass through the fire of repentance. And because he's not willing to look to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to see what this hadith, what this verse really means, he has to come up with some strange tafsir. With respect to also the story of Ibrahim, the Prophet Abraham, the story in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how he recreates the dead, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to cut up some birds and put them on hills and then call them and they will come to him. As I said, this is one of the ma'jizat or miracles explained in the Quran. Of course, Yusuf Ali in footnote 308. In footnote 308, Yusuf Ali completely denies there's any miracle to this. And he said the birds were not killed and they were not, they did not come back to Ibrahim in that way. And of course, if the birds were not killed and not brought back to life, there's no meaning to this verse whatsoever. Because Ibrahim asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show him how he recreates the dead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do this, while according to Abdullah Yusuf Ali, he did not do it. They were not dead. So yani his meaning yani clearly contradicts the earlier verses of the Quran in the same passage. Also with respect to some of his fiqh points that he makes in his tafsir also. For example, he says war is only in self-defense in footnote 204. He said war is only in self-defense, while we know, and he's talking about jihad by the way, he's not talking about war. War and jihad are not the same thing. We don't have anything such as war in Islam. But we know that jihad is not just self-defense, but Islam is, but jihad is meant to spread the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the earth. If there's a non-Muslim country that does not allow us to spread the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of whether they attack us or not, we have to make jihad against them. So jihad is not just in self-defense. But as I said, Yusuf Ali came from a certain period, which many of the Muslims were trying to almost make apologies for Islam and try to show that Islam is not as some people claim, and therefore unfortunately this influenced his commentary on the Quran. In footnote 324 he talks about riba. According to the Arabic definition of the word riba, which means, in fact, any increase, any addition to the capital, there's only one way that riba could be translated into English, and that is as interest. It is not usury. Riba is not usury. Usury means an exorbitant amount of interest, a very large, very high interest rate compared to what the market can bear. Well, riba is any kind of interest. It's not usury, it's any kind of interest. So first of all, he translates it as usury, which is a mistake. But in his commentary to this verse, He said that, well, you know, things change over time and people interpret the Quran according to their time. Actually, this is a word clear in the Arabic language. And then he says that riba in the Quran is not the same thing which is the creation of the modern banking system. In other words, he's saying that the interest that the banks charge is not the same thing as riba. So you may take loans and whatever with the bank. By the way, all of these so far are just from Surah Al-Baqarah. Just from Surah Al-Baqarah. I didn't have time to go. Hamid called me just a few minutes before I left. I was just about to leave to the airport when you called to tell me I had two extra talks and I had to gather my notes together. All these are from Surah Al-Baqarah. I'll just mention one more, and that's footnote 929, in which he talks about the jinn, and he said the jinn are the hidden qualities or capacities in man. Well, this is interesting because the Quran says what? The Quran says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that a group of the jinn listen to the Quran. Group of the jinn listen to the Quran. And it seems Yusuf Ali sometimes he didn't read the whole Quran yet. if you read his tafsir. Anyhow, if you're going to translate jinn as the hidden qualities or capacities in men, then what do these other verses mean that say that the group of jinn listen to the Quran? And of course all the hadith related to that. Well, those are some of the points from Abdullah Yusuf Ali's translation and commentary on the Quran. And for many years scholars have talked about revising this translation. Well, there was a committee in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, made up of about 30 ulama. Jafar Sheikh Idris was one of them. Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adami was one of them. Well, their job was to revise Yusuf Ali's translation of the Quran. Well, they didn't get very far. Because the Ba'in Bismillah, they had about 12 different opinions about how it should be translated. So after discussing the Ba'in Bismillah for about 3 or 4 days, the whole project kind of fell apart. But alhamdulillah, there have been recently a man of publications, they have published a revised edition. Well, Yusuf Ali has many, unfortunately, it's still one of the best translations in English, unfortunately. But there's many, many mistakes in Yusuf Ali's tafsir or commentary. And unfortunately, the revised edition was not able to get rid of all of these mistakes. For example, many of the footnotes that I mentioned, some of them, they deleted them completely. Others, they did not quite delete them. And some, they just left alone. So the revised edition is far better, much better than the old edition. And they deleted a lot of stuff that should have been deleted. But it's still very far from perfect. And as I said, to remove everything from Yusuf Ali, which is questionable, would in fact take a great work. I mentioned Muhammad Asad's tafsir quite a few times because it is also gaining popularity. And I mentioned some of the mistakes that he made. He is kind of like a modern day Mu'tazila. And his tafsir is really a Mu'tazili tafsir of the Quran. Well, Mu'tazila is a group, as you all know, that's existed in the history of Islam. And they have certain, they have their five principles and so on. And his principles, his tafsir is basically according to their belief. I talked about how he denies all of the miracles. I mentioned the Quran. He also denies all of the positive attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his appendix to the Quran, and as the appendix to his translation, he says we cannot say anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except what he is not. And he is not imperfect, he is not this, he is not that. Some scholars before him who had the same way of thinking, they even reached such an extreme that they even said he is not in existence and he is not in existence. He is not mujood, he is not mujood. So what he's doing basically is all of those verses in the Quran that state attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like he is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and these people are saying, no, we cannot say he's ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So I don't know even how they pray when they say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, it must mean nothing to them. He's saying we can only say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't. He isn't imperfect, he isn't incomplete, he isn't this, he isn't that. And finally, just one last point about Muhammad Asad. I don't know how long you wanted me to speak, Hamid, but I hope inshallah. Well, I hope I've spoken long enough then. One last point about Muhammad Asad's tafsir is his, I mean, there's many things also we could say about his tafsir, his commentary, but his note to Surah An-Nur, the verse concerning the dress of the women, he does something very nice on this. His argument is that the dress of the women should be modest. And modesty is something that changes over time. In other words, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it was one thing, but nowadays, yani, it's something completely different. So nowhere does he state what exactly the dress of the woman is supposed to be according to the fuqaha. But he does also another nice thing in that footnote. He quotes an earlier scholar who said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the women to cover what they should be covered except what he permits them or except what may be uncovered, yani, without loss of modesty. So he takes this quote from Tafsir al-Kabir by Imam al-Razi. And the problem is he takes just half the quote. He says that, the quote, as he states, is that women may uncover, or the women have to cover whatever is deemed necessary by custom. And he just leaves it at that. But if you go to Tafsir al-Razi, the scholar he quoted says that, and that the woman may uncover, according to the Quran, is the face and hands. Okay, he leaves that part out. And he says, just, yani, according to custom, and then he argues that, well, custom changes over time. And, of course, for those people who do not have Tafsir al-Kabir, which is a big tafsir, not that many people have it, especially those people who don't read Arabic, I don't think they would have it for any reason. And in other words, he makes a kind of tadlis or deception in that note. And he does this on a few other occasions also in tafsir. So his tafsir is very dangerous for that reason. And he leads you to believe that what he's saying is what some of the earlier scholars said, while in fact, if you study it closer, he is misinterpreting or misquoting what the earlier scholars said. Inshallah, on that point, I will end and perhaps open the floor for questions or comments.
Did you say that you're going to speak?
No, I didn't say that. At least something. 40 minutes, 50 minutes.
About 40, I would say. Good.
Since
you mentioned
that
the new religion of
the Quran
is
far away from the good. Did I say that? I said it's much better than the old one. But still, there's some bumps that you have.
Bumps, okay.
So, since you see some bumps,
do you have any intention
or any
kind of idea
or intention to make?
Well, I don't have any. I don't think it's necessary for us to keep working on the same translation necessarily. And if you keep revising Abdullah Yusuf Ali, well, if we do that, then we'll end up with nothing. So, yeah, inshallah, we might provide some alternative. Not me, but Bashir Publication.
Which is wrong by you?
Which is me, actually. to be more honest.
How soon?
How soon? Not soon. And it would not be the whole Quran. We have, for example, Tafsir Surah Al-Fatiha, large Tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, and Tafsir Surah Al-Baqarah, that we publish sometimes in Al-Bashir. It is from those questions. And it will not be the entire Quran. But there is, Jafri Sheikh Idris told me that there is a new translation of the Quran coming out. He told me it's very good. He promised to send me a copy to look over it. So maybe, inshallah, there will be some new ones coming out that are better, inshallah.
Okay.
Do I have a what? Rating?
Yeah.
Kiss rating. A 3.
On what scale?
On any scale you like. No matter what the scale, it gets a 3.
It's supposed to be a modern English as I understand it.
Yeah, personally, I don't care for it. I don't care for it. I think he, the Quran is tough enough to translate the way it is, but he just loses the meaning of the Quran sometimes. I mean, he tries to make it too, almost slang, almost. You know, I mean, he tries to make it too modern English, and sometimes you need a difficult word or old word to really convey what the Quran is saying at that point. Not everything can be broken down to simple words and modern terms.
Okay. Any more? Okay, let me ask you, Brother Rua. Please. We have a lecture here. It's impossible. Could you tell us? Could you close this door and use the other door, please? Would you? Yaki, you delayed us. Please close the door. Brother Jamal, you said, like, the verse of no people. In fact, you quoted the verse, لَهُمُ الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةً. They have al-husna and additional things, which is, you interpreted it as seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Not me.
I mean, you know, the interpretation you choose is seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The Prophet says that we will be able to, and with our sight, encompass all that there is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is what the verse implies. Well, that's still true, yani, according to, not my interpretation, but according to what the Prophet says.
Yeah, but the word absar itself, the eyes, see, that's or the vision.
Yeah.
You didn't touch on that one.
I don't touch it.
I agree with you, by the way. I mean, you know, I think I'm just bringing to your attention the argument of the other people.
No, but what I'm
because
saying,
they're basing their argument on the Quran too.
No,
you see what I'm saying?
But as I said, yani, to interpret the Quran, you have to go to the Sunnah of the Prophet. One time, Imran bin Hussein was reading some hadith, and someone told him that what you are saying is contradicted by the Quran. Yani, these hadiths of the Prophet is contradicted by the Quran. And his answer was, the Prophet of Allah knows the Quran better than you know, better than anyone knows. Well, labsar, yani, I don't have to discuss it because already in the word tariq, yani, the reputation is clear.
You have a question? Okay.
Assalamu
alaikum.
I think from hearing you, I feel that you know more Arabic than the Arabic-speaking language. You pronounce it very well. And I want to get advice for the teenagers who are born here and raised here, how to encourage them to read Arabic fluently and understand it, not just read it to please parents. Jazakallah khair.
It's not exactly related to the topic. Well, Hamid knows I hate to answer any questions. Is this for me? You don't have to pay this.
We have a dessert for you, by the way. After we finish this, we'll have the dessert.
And I think if you really want to understand, as Brother Siraj said earlier today, even the Salat and reading the Quran, I think if you really have the desire to understand what it means, and not just get it through translation or to read it without understanding the meaning, if you really have that desire, and this will drive you through, I think, to learn the Arabic language, at least enough to be able to understand in general. And you don't have to understand in detail. Even many Arabs, they don't understand in detail. I won't point anyone out particularly here, but that's not necessary, but yeah, and still you will understand what is going on and what is being said. Well, if you realize the importance of Arabic in understanding the Quran and understanding the Hadith, and also if you realize the importance in Arabic in getting good literature. I mean, what we have in English isn't much. I want to play.
You can play on the table.
Thank you. What we have in English isn't much. I mean, you can read it within a year, I would say, if a Muslim and he just sat down and wanted to read most of what you have in English. And also, the quality is not like what you find in Arabic. So if someone also wants to go beyond that to really learn about Islam, he will be forced, or at least he will feel the need to learn Arabic. So if you're talking about youth, for example, if you're talking about your children, you should instill them with the feeling that if they really want to understand the Quran, if they really want to understand Allah's message to them, that they're going to have to understand some Arabic. And just stress the fact that the good books are in Arabic, the hadith are in Arabic, the Quran is in Arabic. And inshallah, this will make them think to work at least on Arabic and to understand inshallah.
Okay, one last question. You know, you talked about...
Maybe someone else.
Yeah, I love that.
One of the people who just came.
I love that.
The question is, what was the topic?
The Quran translation that you are referring to at the moment is, was actually written for in British English. And I was wondering if you could refer us to a translation which was for an American audience, written in an American style English.
Well, C.B. Irving's translation. I mean,
yeah, this is the one you had referred to, and you said it had some...
The C.B. Irving's is written in English. It's called, I think, the first American version of the Quran or something like that. Even the name, I can't really put up with that name.
Right, you said there was some slang with that.
Yeah, not slang, but yeah, I mean, he doesn't really give you the message of the Quran. There's... and Pixel's English is very readable. The other one by Mohsin Khan and just by Mohsin Khan, or I don't remember if he translated by himself or with someone else. His English is very readable, but there's lots of typing errors and lots of grammatical mistakes. But it's very readable. Unfortunately, right now we don't really have good translations. And
we're late.
A little bit late. Actually, the best translation, I may say so, the best translation, we're just talking about the text of the Quran, is Muhammad Ali's translation. But he's Qadiani, and in his footnotes he brings all his Qadiani stuff. But his translation actually is very good. Also, A.J. Arbery's translation to some extent also is good, he's non-Muslim. But his translation, he tries to capture some of the beauty of the Quran. That was already yes.
Okay, brothers.
I'm asking you people to join us.
I guess I have another question, but I'll delay it, and we'll stop at this point, unless you have a.
No, Muhammad Ali. In some verses he translates many verses much better than anyone else. But he is Qadiani and his footnotes are full of nonsense. So you cannot give that translation to anyone unless you sit there and cut out all the footnotes.
And we quoted more than, I guess, at least I started counting more than 6 or 7, you know, problems with mistakes in it, and just in Surah Al-Baqarah is... Brother Jamal was quoting, so we have to be very cautious in dealing with his translation. Okay, I'd like to thank all of you for attending tonight's program. I hope, inshallah, learn something out of it, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Before you leave, make sure you get the dessert, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.